All right, my friends, welcome back to another episode of the Build Show podcast. That's right, my weekly time to get together with you guys and go deep. And we got a great topic today. Today's topic is, so you want to be a builder? And you can, of course, read that with multiple different voice inflections to make it sound however you want to sound. But I've got a great guest with me today. We've actually met him on a previous podcast because we just launched Will King onto our network not too long ago. Will and I are going to go deep on this topic, and I think it's an especially relevant one because Will hasn't even quite had a decade of building under his belt yet. So, you know, I suspect a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about is really fresh and will be applicable to you in the podcast audience, whether you're thinking about a career change, whether you're one of our younger listeners who's in school for construction management or maybe in school for something else. Or if you're a seasoned builder, I think that we're still going to have some good topics here talking about our businesses and how we set these up that we're going to be helpful for you. From the Rockwell Studios in Austin, Texas, let's get going. All right, guys, before we jump into the Will King on today's topic, I want to say a huge shout out and a thanks to our podcast sponsor, Rockwool. We're actually coming to you from the Rockwool Studios. I don't know if you can see that in the background, but Rockwool has been, gosh, a partner and a friend for a long time. I've visited several of their manufacturing plants. I've used their product for a while. But if I can think back to when I first was introduced to Rockwool, there's a few things that really lit the light bulb for me on why this is a different and a very cool product. I think the first one that would resonate to my podcast audience is whether you're a pro or a DIY person, this is a much, much easier install product. Cuts with a bread knife, friction fits right in the cavities, very cool product. But from the building science nerd perspective, I like that it's hydrophobic. Water runs off it like water off a duck's back. If I were to drop some water from my water bottle on a bat, it would fall right off. It's also vapor open. We can dry through it if we want to. It also has some natural fire resistance tendencies because it's made literally from rocks. Molten lava is kind of what they're using to make this product that I saw at their plant. And there's, of course, several other things. But with that being said, let's get back to today's program, and huge thanks to Rockwool for sponsoring. Will King, thanks for joining me today, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Good times.
So, Will, I got to say, I always mess up your location, though. I know that you're somewhere in the southeastern United States. And I don't know. Beyond that, I'm kind of like the 16-year-old driver who drives across town and doesn't know where they are. Where are you located exactly?
Yeah, so Florence, Alabama. So we're northwest corner of Alabama. So we're actually, you know, an hour from Tennessee. I would say an hour from Mississippi and 40 minutes from Tennessee.
So and what's the biggest major metro near you?
Huntsville. So Huntsville's about an hour to our east.
Gotcha.
So that's where International Airport, Redstone Arsenal, and got the growth over there is exploding. It's crazy.
And in today's topic, Will, we're talking, the title is So You Want to Be a Builder. And I think we could take this a bunch of different ways, but you and I spent a little time earlier in this podcast season talking about your history and your background. And if I could summarize quickly, you know, you actually were a professional firefighter, a full-time firefighter for a couple years, had a history of doing construction projects on your off time, and realized, you know, I really like this. I'm really passionate about this. How long ago did you make that transition from full-time firefighting to full-time at High Cotton Homes, your home building company?
Yeah, so it's about 5 years ago. So, I guess it was April of 2019. So it hadn't been 5 years.
Hasn't even been 5 years yet.
Wow. Feels like 20. I don't know why. But yeah,
in a good way or a bad way.
It's great. It's great. I was a full-time fireman, paramedic for 10 years. And, you know, we had started this company in 2016, and then after my first daughter was born and the business kept growing, we had to make that decision to one way or the other. You know, it was not enough hours in a day, that kind of thing. So that was when I decided to part from the fire service and just take the leap to be full-time in the building world. And, you know, that's a hard transition just from the security of like benefits mm-hmm. and retirement accounts and that kind of thing that you walk away from. And I think that's actually ties into today's podcast a lot, because I think several builders are in the same position that are scared to make that step to walk away from the security of it.
So I guess I'd forgotten that part of your story. You actually, for like 3 years, held a full-time job and a second almost full-time job, which was High Cotton Homes. Is that right? How many hours a week were you working at High Cotton, even though you had your other full-time job at the fire service?
Yeah, so firemen work 24, 48. So I've worked, you know, about 3 days a week or 2 days a week, depending on the week. And, you know, of course, all night long at the firehouse, I was up working on estimates, reviewing plans, reviewing budgets, all the things that we do in the office. And then, of course, and then running calls too. And that was always a gamble on how much we were going to be up at night. And then as soon as I left the fire station in the morning, it was straight to the job sites and we're there all day. So, I mean, I don't know. I would say, you know, I was at 48 to 72 hours a week at the fire station, and then a solid 40 plus being a builder. It was a lot. I got really hooked on coffee at that point in my life.
I bet you did. Holy cow.
So, yeah, that ends up, I was lucky though. I had a partner at the time in the building company. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to divide and conquer some things when I was at the fire station. Of course, it was much smaller than it is now, so it wasn't as much to handle. But also at the same time, though, it was a lot of learning paths that were tough to accomplish, I think, in those first few years that were quite stressful.
I think one interesting takeaway from what you just said that I want to ask you about is I think some people have this perception that the builder lifestyle is a leisure lifestyle or a 40-hour work week. And I would guess that your story and mine are pretty alike in that the first several years of starting my company, I started my own home building company in 05, 40 hours a week would be a dream for me, and I was nowhere near that. And my advice to those listening who are interested in being a builder is, you know, you could get to the point where you can have a more normal 40. And I think I probably could be close to that today if I wanted to be. But definitely not the case in the first 5 or maybe even 10 years of my business. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Yeah. Tracking my hours would be tough because, you know, when are you ever really off work is probably the biggest question. And boundaries of that is super important. And that's something that me and Jake and Jackson Andrews talked about before. It's just, how do you draw that line? Because, you know, you may be at the office, you may be on the job site, but then when you go home, your employees are calling about tomorrow, or a customer gets off work and went to their job and they have a question. And, you know, it becomes, 12, 14 hour days relatively easy. So, now I guess the advantage to being a builder or really just self-employed is the benefit of making your own schedule. So that is, work more hours, but you can break away for things that you need to go do with your family or lunches and that kind of thing. Whereas when I was at the fire service, at a firehouse, wasn't easy just to go to the doctor or go to the bank or go get your haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. Now so, you may have had more regular hours that you had some off time to do that. Yeah. But I could tell you, working for another production builder that I used to work for, where I had very strict, I had to be at the corporate office for this period of time. I did not have that flexibility. And that's one of the things I love about being a builder is that I do have that flexibility of time. And my advice to you and the younger crowd, I don't feel like I'm older yet, but I think I am. I'm about to turn 50. And I've been building for just shy of 30 years, 17 on my own, is that when you're in business longer, you have a bigger team, you just need to go ahead and schedule those times to make sure that you don't exclude your family from your life and become that workaholic that some people do. And for me, my wife 2-3 years ago said, hey, our daughter is going to be out of the house in a couple of years. I have a 16-year-old daughter. I really want you, Matt, to be willing to take 2 weeks of vacation in a row, like 2 weeks in the summer, and let's go on these RV trips with our daughter, who, you know, at the time she was 13, 14, and wanted to spend time with us. And so a few years ago, I took my first 2 weeks off in a row.
Wow.
And it was what, like, oh my gosh, you know, the world's going to end. And I got back and everyone was like, oh, you're back. Great. I didn't even, you know, is it already been 2 weeks? And I was able to do that such that the last two summers I've actually taken 3 weeks off in a row. And so I would tell you there is light at the end of the tunnel. You will be able to get to the point in your business where you can take greater amounts of time off. But when you're in those first 5 years, especially, and 10 years, certainly, it's really hard to take that extra time off or to get to the point, the business to a point where it runs without you and you don't have a job there. You're just running a business. Does that make sense?
It does. And I would say that, you know, I was actually thinking as you were talking, the 5 year mark for me, that's where I think it started to turn a little bit, where used to, I really panicked when Brooke would tell me, hey, we're going to the beach, you know, mm-hmm. or we're going, you know, cause it just panicked with like, how are we going to do that? And, yep. and now it's not near as stressful. And of course you can work a little bit remotely now, easier than probably ever as far as checking in with your team or answering some questions. But yeah, I think it's basically when you build that team, honestly, taking those vacations are where you start to trust your team and let your team do their job they're capable of doing. And as I've started to see that over the last 2 years, man, that's been great. That really has. And so sometimes I think they're happy when I leave.
Yeah, no doubt. So, I'm glad to hear you've already hit that. I mean, you're more than 5 years in business. You're just less than 5 years full time, where you didn't hold two full time jobs, I would say.
You start to realize the value of building that team out. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably one thing we could talk about for sure is just, you know, maybe not looking at the dollar figure so much for your business as a way to reinvest that money, and the importance of building that team out early so that you can have a path to grow and you can have a path to take vacation one day.
100%.
If you stay in that one man show uniform for a while, I don't know when you ever go to the beach.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the one man show, it sounds like you might've been, and I was for a while as well. You own your own job. You don't own your own business. You don't have mm-hmm. a boss, but you still have a job that's incredibly demanding. And for me, it's only been the last couple of years that I don't own my job. I own my business. But when I was pretty early on in my building company, probably around the time you are now, maybe 5-6 years in, I read this book by Michael Gerber, and it's a super old book. It's been revised a few times, but it's called The E-Myth. And you probably read it if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't read it. It's a $15 paperback on Amazon. Totally worth it. The book, basically, I could summarize the whole book in two paragraphs. It's basically like, look, when you own your own business, you own your own job if you're a small operator, and that's great as long as you know the pluses and minuses of that. But if you truly want to own a business where you're not needed on a day-to-day basis to do the widget making or to do the bookkeeping or whatever the jobs are out there, you need to find people that can take those roles that are frankly better than you at those roles. And that was easy and hard for me both at the same time. I'm not naturally a great organizer or planner. I'm not great at QuickBooks. I'm not great at accounting. And so pretty early on, I realized, gosh, I suck at this. I'm doing this at midnight and I don't want to do it to begin with. And the reason I'm doing it at midnight is because I did all the things I wanted to do first and I left this to the end. So I hired an outside bookkeeper, and that was a game changer for me a year or so into my business when I got an outside bookkeeper part-time. They weren't great at it either, unfortunately, and I had to find a better person. And that's year two, three, or four or so was when I realized, gosh, this is such a key person. And I hired this woman named Lisa, who still works for one of my builder buddies now. She was part-time for me and part-time for him. She made my job 1,000 times easier because she was excellent at accounting and bookkeeping and really keeping me accountable to my clients and to myself to make sure that I was making money on jobs. What's your kind of background and story on that side of the business?
Yeah, I think the accounting part is, man, probably the most critical part to get right in this business, and so often messed up. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that I guess I was motivated or inspired to go into home building is when we moved back from Birmingham. I think I told you before we were remodeling the house, flipping the house, and that didn't work out for us here in this market. So we had friends that had been building homes with other builders, and there was just some, I guess, questionable things happening, some stories about financials and that kind of thing. And I thought, if there's one part of the business I know we can get right early, it would be that part. My father-in-law and I have been, I guess, flipping houses, doing renovations like that, and I felt like we had a good basis together in the, I guess, how to run the books essentially. So when I started the building company, he actually had found himself in early retirement, and my immediate question to him was, "Hey, you want a part-time job?" So I was very lucky that he came over with me when we first got set up, because I remember calling. Actually, my sister is in construction too, and well, not in building houses. She actually is an engineer and works for a paving excavation company in Birmingham. And but she also does a lot of their back end work, and she's QuickBooks wizard. So I remember calling her and talking to her about QuickBooks, and she's like, "Oh yeah, tell me how to buy it, download it, I get into it." And I remember calling her back saying, "What the heck is this?" just totally lost. And so Scott was able to take that and just plug us in, and he had QuickBooks background as well. So that's how we started in it. So I would say really my business started with QuickBooks, and I think that I'm very happy that we did that. Scott transitioned out of here a few years ago. He went back to the engineering world, but we've had a bookkeeper that worked in-house for me full time after Scott. And then currently our accountant, actually Madison, that works for us, is has her accounting degree, and she's full time with us now. And that's taken us to another level too, where I actually now feel even more comfortable with P&L reports and actually how to forecast that. And because for the longest time I just felt like there's so much money coming in and so much money going out. Where are we?
It's hard.
So yeah, I think that I actually was just telling Travis and Joe this the other day when we were in Atlanta, that I feel like that's one of the first people that you should hire as a builder would be find someone that can help you on the financial side. Because if you're stuck entering bills and paying invoices constantly, you can't be a builder. Yeah, I mean, you just can't. And that's so time consuming, especially for guys like us who aren't good at it,
That's right.
So.
That's a key hire. I would also direct any of the podcast audience to check out the videos and even the social feed of Brian Euler, Pioneer Builders. He's a really interesting builder in that he really is very accounting focused and has an accounting mind and really gets the business side of building. He's out in the field quite a bit, and he's an accomplished building science guy, but he's one of the smartest builders I know of, and runs a very, I guess profitable is an okay word to say, but a very profitable, but also very small business. They just have a couple of people, probably three, four people total on their team, a lot of family members. And he kind of runs several hats, the builder hat, the accountant hat, the payables and accounts receivables hat. And
Incredible.
he also doesn't seem like he's overworked. I mean, he seems like he's putting in a solid 40 or 50, but not the 80 or so that I did for many years to try and keep all the plates spinning. And so when I come across a builder like that, I'm always super impressed. The guys at Breakthrough Academy also are doing some great work on their weekly videos on Build Show Network. And if you're not familiar, and I would tell you this to you as well, Will, or listeners out there, with David Gerstel, have you read any of his books?
I have not.
He is an amazing, older, wiser builder who really gets the business side. of the business. And he's written several books that have been published through Journal of Light Construction or Fine Home Buildings, Taunton Press, I can't remember which. David Gerstel, G-E-R-S-T-E-L, I believe. Boy, I would look up and buy anything that he's written. Very, very excellent, wise contractor when it comes to making sure that you have profit to lubricate the gears and stay in business. Because this is like all small businesses, builders have a hard time staying in business longer than 5 years. And I heard a stat years ago, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but that something like 80 or 90% of all small businesses in America fail within the first 5 years. So for you already to be at year six or seven, you've already left 80% of your colleagues in the business world, not just the building world, in the dust. And I'm sure that's true of builders as well.
I would think so, yeah. And I think that one thing that's helped us too is being part of other, I guess, finding a group to plug into, you know, not just totally relying on what you know, but find other builders. I think we're all very open to divulging even numbers with other builders to help out with where they stand compared to what we're doing and other ideas to help make those P&L statements look better. It's a Builder 10 group. I think the NAHB has those. Where I'm in a Southern Living group right now, that's been really helpful. And of course, even just the friends I have here with the build show, that's a big thing, I think, as a new builder, is to find the guys that have already done it and plug in somehow. Find that group, because those are the ones that you can call, even no matter what the problem arises. It could be a building science question, it could be a legal issue that you're dealing with, it could be an accounting question, but having that network, man, that's so important. Boy, that's a big deal.
That's huge advice, man. And that's my story too. It's interesting to hear that you kind of found that network through the Southern Living Builder Program. I got plugged in when I started my business in 2005 with the local Home Builders Association. And if you're not familiar with the HBA, the Home Builders Association, there's a U.S. HBA. They're headquartered out of D.C. There's state-level Home Builders Associations. And then there's usually a regional or a town. So my Austin, Greater Austin, Texas Home Builders Association has two or three staff members that are based there and a lot of builders that serve on boards. And one of the groups I got plugged in with right away was our local chapter of the Custom Builders Council, which was kind of like-minded, like-sized builders to me. And one of those builders that I met there, you've probably heard Tim Hill on the podcast before. He became an instant friend. I think of him as my older brother. He's in his mid-60s, and he came to work for me during the last recession after he finished a $20 million house and didn't have another job lined up. And thank God he did. He's been an incredible part of my business. And to have that seasoned builder who's been doing it for 40-plus years on my team, incredible. And I met him through my HBA, through my local Custom Builders Council. But if you're a podcaster who's in a town that doesn't have that, Southern Living, that's a great option. Another option, frankly, is get on Instagram and start befriending other like-minded builders that way. I've met a lot of people and helped a bunch of people just by them sending me a message and starting a conversation and me telling that they or understanding that they had genuine interest and desire to get better. And anytime anyone asks me or you, Will, I suspect, a question and you have the ability to answer it and you can tell that they're genuine, you're going to take the time to do that. So there's a lot of builders out there that are willing to help in your transition, in your career from, you know, whatever you're doing before to starting your own home building company. What other advice would you give that's related to, so I want to be a builder and starting a company for the first time, Will? You're so close to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think starting down that path that I want to be a builder, I think sometimes people may underestimate what that entails. I think sometimes it's like, we're just going to be part-time at this. It's going to be just a fun thing. I feel like I see guys a lot of times get in over their head on things and they don't have a plan for it. You'll find yourself working to death, like we've already talked about, but even the potential for legal problems as you go forward. But yep. I really wish that one of the first things I would have done before we ever really even got our first contract inked would have been to have met with a good construction attorney.
That's a great call.
I ended up having to do that in the near future after we got started anyway. But, you know, that's one of those things. I'm sure you talk about reading books, the Rich Dad Poor Dad series. That's something that stuck with me about finding a good accountant, a good attorney, and paying them well. And I realized that I should have paid more attention to that after I got started, and then realized I had to go find an attorney. But, you know, not, I guess, make sure that your contracts are solid before you get started, because 100%. I think you're just, I don't know the statistics on this, but if I had to guess, I would assume that most lawsuits against contractors happen to builders that have been in business 3 years or less.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I mean, that has to be the majority of them. And it's because you're learning so many things. It's not that you may not even mean ill will. You're just trying to figure out how all these pieces work. But if there was somebody out there wanting to be a builder, you know, other than the bookkeeping side, basically, well, that's what I just said, an accountant, an attorney, you got the bookkeeping side handled, and you are going to need an actual CPA, by the way, but go find that attorney that's well-versed in litigation, that's defended contractors, that understands the lingo, that can walk you through a contract. And even in my experience, even with that contract, you know, I started with like a state issued through the HBA, contract, but we're far from that contract at this point. There were several parts of it that we needed to change to better fit our business model. So that's probably one of the biggest things I tell anybody wanting to get into it, is just make that step to find that legal counsel that you can depend on.
That's huge advice, man.
I've had a long way.
I've had Travis Brown is my construction attorney. I've had him on the podcast a couple times. With Steve, cool. Who's co-hosted for me, and we kind of think of him as a board member in the company, and we pay his monthly bills, and love seeing his monthly bills, because that means that he's involved in our business. He's helping us with pre-construction, with contracts. He's making sure that he stays plugged in so that we don't run into a problem, and that is money well spent. And as a side note to that, I would tell you that if you're thinking about getting into the building business, you really should have at least 1 year, if not 2 years, of savings in your bank account before you start your company. When I started my company, I was in my early 30s. My wife was pregnant with my first kid. I had no house. I was renting. I had almost no bills coming in that I had that were big bills. I had very little debt at that time, and I just sold a house out of town when I moved here. So I had this little nest egg of just shy of $100,000, and thank God I had that, because I really didn't make any money in my building company for a solid 2+ years. And then right as I started making a little bit of money, the economy went south in the 2007-2008 recession time, because I started my business in 2005. And then I really struggled for a few years getting back to making hardly anything at all. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if in my first, I don't know, 7-8 years of business, I averaged making about the same as I had gone and worked for Chick-fil-A. You know, that's probably about what I was making. And yes, I'm in a different and a better spot today. I'm much better financially today, but I took on a ton of debt during that time too, and then I had to pay that debt off. So I made a lot of bad mistakes. But one thing I did well was I had a good nest egg and I was in a good stage of life. If you're starting your business and you're listening to this and you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, and you have kids, you've got other obligations, you have a spouse that is or isn't working, you really need to think hard about what you need to make and where you're going to be. And I also had health insurance through my wife's job, to your point earlier about the fire service. So even though I wasn't making any money, we did at least have health insurance through my wife's job, who was working part-time, and she was making money during that time. So I had several things backing me up, including a small nest egg of money I was able to use to pay myself when the business wasn't making a dime to be able to pay myself. Talk to me about software or management or anything that you did in the first 1 to 3 or 4 years that you might be help that you think might be helpful for people, Will, as they think about becoming a builder?
Yeah, I think, I guess to your point about the company not making money, that's, I guess, leads right into my software question or my software topic. So one of the first things that we did was invest in CoConstruct. And also invested in PlanSwift. I don't know if you're familiar with PlanSwift.
I don't know PlanSwift.
We run it for Takeoff. Mm-hmm. It's very much a commercial software, but actually it totally does residential as well. So framing, electrical, sheetrock, insulation, awesome. Siding. We use a lot for exterior stuff too. But all those softwares cost money. It's actually amazing to me when I look every month at how much we spend in software subscriptions, whether mm-hmm. it's QuickBooks, whether it's CoConstruct. If you're not familiar with CoConstruct, it's essentially, well, it is BuilderTrend now. BuilderTrend and purchase CoConstruct.
That's
so
right.
I keep waiting on my green background to slowly start turning blue.
I suspect there will be a blending of the two softwares before too long, and it'll be just one
I would
offering.
So.
Yep.
I think that's probably some of the best advice is to tell somebody early on to invest in one of those and learn it. Yep. So we started our company with CoConstruct.
Awesome.
I had been reading about it, about other builders that were using it, and just said, you know what, I'm just going to try it. So we started there, used very little of it in the beginning, but we did stick with it and had clients logged into it. We integrated it with QuickBooks. And now everything, I mean, I feel like our entire business is ran off CoConstruct at this point. I mean, all of our employees clock in there, our schedules are made, our tasks are made. And it, you know, the actual numbers sync over from QuickBooks. So, otherwise I think it would be very challenging, to track your projects in an effective way if you didn't have, something like that. I know Luke Mesger has, we were actually talking about him this week too, about how I think he wrote his own software, you know.
Yeah, he used the Microsoft Access database to basically kind of produce his own version of BuilderTrend, but it's not the same. I mean, it's not as powerful as CoConstruct or BuilderTrend. But he's pretty incredible. He's a smart dude and has made that work for years. I do think, Luke, if you're listening, you got to be cautious, dude, because at some point the Access cliff is going to happen because they've stopped supporting it. I don't know how many years ago now. And at some point you're going to open up your machine. And it's just not going to work. And that does scare me a little bit. And in fact, that's, as a side note, that's why I switched or was interested in switching from a builder software that I used a few years ago to BuilderTrend. I was using another type of software that had literally 50 users and was run by a person in Austin that had developed it. When Steve Leeson, my COO, started, he said, you know, do we really want to use a piece of software that's run by someone out of their house that has 50 users? Because any second, this person gets hit by a bus and no longer, our software that runs our accounting and our back office is no longer working. And we were using like a cloud version of it. And I thought, you know, you're probably right. That could be real bad, telling your $5 million house under construction client that all of a sudden all of their, everything's lost for their accounting. That would be a real bad day at work. So we started evaluating software. We looked very heavily at CoConstruct at that time. We almost pulled the trigger there. We ended up with BuilderTrend instead. And that's been a game changer for my business. That's been about 6 years ago now that we made that switch. And I would tell you too, Will, I'm assuming this is coming to CoConstruct, but they just announced not too long ago, BuilderTrend Takeoff, which is their takeoff software built into BuilderTrend. It's a two tab model where you have the takeoff, on one tab and then your other tab, everything gets imported right into BuilderTrend. So we use QuickBooks for our main accounting, which integrates into BuilderTrend. And now we're going to be able to start doing takeoffs right into BuilderTrend as well. But we've been using a different takeoff software to date.
You know, I think one thing on those softwares, we talk about them, is when you make the decision to purchase them, like, and this is where COVID really jacked this up, because I'm a big in-person learner. Mm-hmm. I struggle with webinars, to be honest.
Yeah,
but when we first bought CoConstruct, I remember going to Virginia and doing CoCamp in person.
Yes.
And that week was just like huge for us, because it's like, that was what we were focused on. We were, you know, asked questions, talked to other builders. We made some relationships there, other builders that we could talk to. And then I did the same thing with PlanSwift. I went to Cincinnati and learned how to operate that software in person. And then, of course, fast forward to 2019, I guess COVID hits, and then everything is web-based at this 100% point.
100% virtual.
I keep asking our agent or salesperson at CocoStruck when they check in, like, when are we going to have in-person training again? And so I hope that starts back. But at least do the webinar version and take the time out of your life and go ahead and do it now, because it's never going to get easier. And if I feel like builders that I know, I've talked to several, I know you have too, Matt, that'll say, well, I bought CoConstruct for a little while, but then it just never worked for us. We didn't do it. And if you really ask why, it's because they didn't invest in it. They didn't want to make it work.
Yep.
So that's probably the big tip there. It's one thing to buy the software. It's the second one to learn it and invest a little bit of time into it to figure out how to. And also, too, as a young builder, there's no better time, because I honestly can't even. That's one of the reasons I panicked when Builder Trend bought CocoStruct, because I thought, how are we going to swap over? Trying to learn something new at that point, once you have so much built into your system, like, it's much easier to start your system with something that can grow with you.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be a big one for somebody getting into the business.
And I'm assuming CoConstruct offers this, but Builder Trend offers on-site training as well. We had two people fly in from Omaha, where they're based, and spend like 3 days with our team when we first started using Builder Trend 6 years ago. That was awesome, because now the back office team, the accounting team, the project managers, myself, the management team, everybody got trained all in one, 2-3 day period. And then they ended up spending time in the field with each project manager, time in the office with my, accounts payable people. It was huge for us to have that person on site. And it was an investment, it cost us several thousands of dollars, but worth every penny, your point, to actually use the software like it's intended, to make your life easier, and not just have it as a something that you can tell a client in a meeting, oh yeah, we use this and here's the great benefits, but not actually reap those benefits.
Yeah, and I don't know. CocoStruck may offer that now. They didn't when I bought it. I suspect now that Builder Trend's involved there, that might be the model going forward. But yeah, it's worth it. I mean, because if you don't invest in it, you're never gonna truly learn it and make it part of your business. So
yep. 100%.
That's a good one.
Well, man, we should probably wrap this up. We're going on a little over 30 minutes here, and I always like to not do the Joe Rogan style podcasting where we take 4 hours to talk, even though we could. Guys, if you're not currently following Will and his work, Will is shooting a video a week on buildshownetwork.com. He also is incredibly, and his team, prolific on Instagram at High Cotton Homes. Where else can people find you guys, Will?
Also our website. So it's just highcotton-homes.com or -homes.com. And then we're also on Facebook as well. It's just High Cotton Homes there as well.
And what's your, for those listening who could be someone that would want to hire you, what's your range of building areas? How far away from home base do you go?
So from Florence, we're about 45 minutes to an hour east and west, and that's because that's the way the river runs here. But if you're within, I would say 45 minutes to an hour of Florence, we should definitely have a conversation. It depends on several variables there, but that's our immediate range. But in Alabama, so Tennessee, Mississippi, we're not building there yet.
Awesome. And I think I think my team has verified with you, but are you going to be at IBS this year? 23, believe it or not, 23 is coming up. So make sure you track down, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you track down the Build Show Network guys. We're going to have something. We got a few things in the works. Nothing's been announced yet, but Will's going to be there. I know for sure Jake and Steve are going to be there. I've talked to several other BSN folks. They're going to be there. And I suspect the crew of guys that are some of our buddies in the building world are going to be there. So we'd love to meet you. If you're going to IBS, make sure you track us down and come say hi to Will and myself at the International Builder Show in Las Vegas again, rather than Orlando. My wife is flying in on Thursday, and we're going to make a weekend of it. Since we got a sitter lined up for the kids, I'd recommend you do the same, Will. It's going to be really, really fun to get away for a couple days.
We're excited about it. And, if I can add one thing right there, Matt, is when we were talking earlier about plugging into a group, I try to encourage any builder I run across that's trying to grow, make it a point to go to IBS. I'm so thankful that in 2019, I finally made the decision to go, thanks to Huber. But come to the Huber booth.
That's when I first met you.
A cool group of builders, come there. I mean, that is an instant path to connect to like-minded builders.
That's for sure.
We'll make that connection for you.
This year's Best of Social Awards, which you've won before, is going to be on Wednesday. I'll be hosting that again this year. Usually end of day. I don't know if we have a time exactly, but it's probably Wednesday of IBS. I suspect at 3 or 4 p.m. Put that on your calendar right now and make sure you're there. Will and I will definitely be at that event.
Look forward to it.
All right, guys. Well, if you're not currently a subscriber, guys, hit that subscribe button below. We've got new podcast episodes every Friday on all the major networks, and we publish the video version of this. So if you want to see Will in his cool molding conference room background and me here at the Build Show Studios, you can watch the visual version of this over on buildshownetwork.com. With that being said, follow us on TikTok or Instagram. Otherwise, we'll see you next time on the Build Show podcast.